Good morning or good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the OceanaGold 2017 second quarter results webcast and conference call. At this time, all lines are in listen-only mode. Following the presentation, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. If at any time during this call you require immediate assistance, please press star 0 for the operator. This call is being recorded on July 27th at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I would now like to turn the conference over to Jeffrey Sansom. Please go ahead.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the OceanaGold second quarter 2017 financial and operating results call and webcast. Thanks for joining us today. My name is Jeffrey Sansom from the Investor Relations team at OceanaGold. On the call with me today in Melbourne are Mick Wilkes, President and CEO. I'd like to introduce Scott McQueen, Chief Financial Officer. We have Michael Holmes, Chief Operating Officer, and Edward Sitwoon, Corporate Controller. In Toronto, we have Sam Pazuki, Vice President of Investor Relations. Before we proceed, note that all references in this presentation that you're about to hear adhere to international financial reporting standards, and all financial figures are denominated in US dollars unless otherwise stated. Also note that the presentation contains forward-looking statements, which, by their very nature, are subject to some degree of uncertainty. I now turn it over to Mick Wilkes to begin the presentation.
Thanks, Jeff, and welcome everybody to our second quarter webcast. Happy to have you with us. I'll start on page 3 with a summary of our results, looking at production first of all. A steady quarter, 125,000 ounces and 272,000 ounces for the first half, putting us on track to achieve our guidance for the full year. Sales were stronger on the back of some increased drawdown in inventories, the concentrate sales in the Philippines in particular. Copper production and sales were both strong, with first half having produced and sold around about 10,000 tonnes of copper. And of course, our all-in sustaining cost is good year-to-date, about $600 per ounce, putting us in line and on track for our full-year guidance. Good revenues, $333 million, a decent gold price at $1,244. And an improved copper price, $257. And the net profit for the half year of $61 million after extraordinary items, so $25 million profit in the first, in the second quarter. Moving on to page number 4, and just to highlight the continued strong performance of the company in terms of financial metrics. Our EBITDA for the first half in terms of margin is almost 56%. Our earnings per share adjusted for abnormal items like impairment is 13 cents per share and a cash flow before per share of 28 cents. And for the quarter, similar figures, a little bit lower than the first quarter. EBITDA is a 50% margin and adjusted earnings per share of 4 cents per share. So as a result of those strong financial metrics, we continue to have a strong return on invested capital. We are one of the few companies that's delivered that strong return on invested capital consistently over the past 7 years, and that continues this year. The Haile Optimisation Study, we did talk about this in depth when we had our Investor Day about a month ago. And it did demonstrate the strong economics of the project and the long-term economics of the project in particular. The reserves increased by 70% up to 3.5 million ounces. And if you include the economic inferred resources within the mine plan, you get a 4 million ounce mining inventory, giving you an 18-year mine life with an average annual production of around 190,000 ounces per annum. Was significantly higher, or 60,000 ounces higher, in fact, higher than the previous 43-101 report. That, of course, was done at a lower gold price of $950, but nonetheless the demonstration of the true economics of this project had now been revealed, and the very strong cash flows emanating from the project based on a $1,300 gold price before tax cash flows of $1.8 billion. Moving on to the topic of Haile and commissioning. Obviously, we put a lot of effort and time into rectifying the commissioning issues that we've highlighted that started occurring in early in the second quarter. The mills have now been reconfigured with different grates, and the distribution of load between the SAG mill and the ball mill has now been corrected, so we've got increased load in the ball mill, and we're getting higher throughput rates, and importantly, we're getting stable, consistent throughputs in the last couple of weeks. Also complete is putting the fine grind circuit into closed circuit. This is an important step to increase the load on the fine grinding mills to make them essentially work harder, and as a result have been successful in reducing the grind size down to the targeted range of 15 to 20 microns. So that's some very good news for us, and we certainly keep monitoring that over the next weeks and months. The CIL piping system, this is the launders where they're transferring the slurry from one tank to the other in the CIL circuit. We did have a short-circuiting problem, quite a significant one, in the second quarter as we ramped up the throughput. We were getting slurry that short-circuiting straight to the tailings. That's now largely been corrected. We have installed two launders, new launders, which eliminate that short-circuiting risk on two of the tanks. We will install another three over the coming weeks when we do our next shutdown, and we do expect that to be finished by the end of August. The tank liners that delaminated a couple of months after we started up the tanks have all been stripped, and so there's no interference to the day-to-day operation of the CIL circuit because of these liners. We plan to recommence the lining of those tanks in the near future. I will make the point, though, that these liners are there for the long-term protection of the tanks, and if you didn't have the liners in the tanks, then you could easily expect them tanks to last 5 or 6 years without much risk at all. So this is something that we decided to do at the during construction. We still want to get it done and out of the way. We don't expect them will have a material impact on recovery as we take one tank off at a time throughout the rest of this year. And the control systems, we have done some improvements to the control systems to reduce response times and improve the operability of the process plant. We've made some significant progress there, and that work will continue over the next months throughout this year and into next year as well. But that is improving as well. On the subject of commercial production, we're ticking all the boxes. We just want to demonstrate stability in the circuit, and then be confident with the ongoing forecast for production in the plant. Now moving on to page number 7, and just some statistics there. Lower results, of course, in quarter 2. You can see by the graph, the ramp-up profile on page 7, where the things started to go adrift in months 5 and 6, and now in month 7 we're on track that being July, to bring that back up again. The ore mine comfortably feeding ore to the mill. We do have two pits operable, and therefore two sources of ore, so we can mix and match the ore feed to the mill. Waste mine was in line with plan. The mill feed at 409,000 tonnes, of course, if you analyse that, it's 1.6 million tonne, slightly below the 80% target, but that's on we were looking for improved throughput in the plant beyond that. Head grade, as expected, year-to-date around 2.25 grams per tonne and slightly lower head grade in the second quarter. And recoveries is where we have underperformed in the second quarter as a result of the issues that I have talked about already, and we do expect those to rebound significantly in the third quarter and beyond. So I'll stop there, and I'm obviously happy to take questions about hail and other things at the end. I'll now hand over to Michael Holmes, our COO, to give you his presentation on safety and operating issues.
Thank you, Mick. Good morning, good afternoon, everybody. If we have a look at slide 8, I'll talk to you about the safety and health. We are continuing and increasing our focus and engagement on health and safety in the organisation by implementing a leadership safety behavioural program and a workforce safety behavioural program that has been developed this year. The leadership safety program is named the Gold Standard Program, and this focuses on visible felt leadership as our leaders complete tasks such as attendance to pre-start meetings and completion of activities like stop and think, task observations and hazard identifications in the field. There is also a review component to ensure that the job hazard analysis and the job safety analysis are completed to the required standards. The gold standard has been rolled out to the superintendent leadership level and above, and that includes EXCO members and the board. And the board recently completed their gold standard activity during their visit site visit to Hale. The Workforce Safety Behavioural Program is based on the workforce and the opinion leaders within the workforce deciding to make the right decisions about safety in the workplace by the safety behaviours that they select and commit to. This program has been implemented at Waihi and Macraes and will be rolled out into Didipio this quarter and in Hale towards the end of the year and into next year. We're also focused on the quality of our investigations and the learnings from these with the dissemination and implementation of the corrective and preventative actions and learnings across the business. As the graph in the bottom of the page shows, we made some great achievements in the total recordable injury frequency lag indicator since 2011, with the trend unfortunately reversing in 2016, which is a great concern. We are currently tracking a total recordable injury frequency rate of 3.74 for the half year, down from 3.99 for 2016, with some further improvements to go from the proactive approach being implemented. Turning to slide number 9, as previously mentioned, we're extremely proud of the work we are completing with our communities and stakeholders in our operations and the company's environmental, social and governance performance. We remain strongly committed in this area and it remains an integral pillar of our company. In this slide, we've detailed only a few relatively small portion of the work that is being completed at all our sites. However, highlighting a few of the comments is the ongoing rehabilitation at all our sites, and in New Zealand we are currently at greater than 740 hectares of rehabilitation. We're very proud to talk about our programs for the protection and restoration of significant cultural sites like the Gaitan's Cottage in Macraes, which demonstrates the historical living conditions of the Chinese immigrants that came to the area for mining. We continue to have the strong community support, which is reinforced in our yearly community surveys, as well as the recent support in the consenting of the new Coronation North open pit, which commenced mining in April in Macraes. In Didipio, we still benefit from strong local and regional support and have just opened and handed over the new Eastern Nueva Vizcaya High School, which was built in Didipio and can support up to approximately 600 students. This complements the President's kindergarten to grade 12, K to 12 program, as Didipio now has the facility to teach years 11 and 12 students. Previously, the children who wanted an education past year 10 had to leave town to get further education. We've also commenced construction of the family health centre and the water system within the community as well. On June 22nd, we had the official opening of the Howell Gold Mine, which was an exciting event attended by employees, our community, our local, regional and state government officials. And at Hale, like our other sites, we continue to be focused on local employment and procurement. Moving to slide 10, looking at the Didipio as an overview, the Didipio's production was in line with expectations and the recently updated guidance, with the gold produced for the quarter at 42,900 ounces and for the first half at 105,647 ounces. And copper production at 4,322 tonnes and for the first half at 10,277 tonnes. The Didipio's production decreased quarter on quarter was as expected and previously forecast and on the back of the lower head grade and mill feed. At the end of May, we completed the mining from the open point. And after that point, we supplement the mill feed with medium and low grade material from the stockpiles. The all-in sustaining costs for the second quarter was at $147 per ounce and for the first half at $15 per ounce, again in line with expectations. So for Didipio, the first half of the year will be stronger than the second half as we can continue in the second half to process ore from the open pit stockpiles, which the stockpiles are around about 24 million tonnes of ore being stockpiled. And this will be at the lower grades of the ore stockpiles. So we are guiding for the second half between 45 and 55,000 ounces of gold produced. Moving on to slide 11, at the Didipio, the transition to underground continues to advance well with the mining of the decline and the installation of the infrastructure. We have commissioned two surface extraction fans for the underground, with one currently in operation due to the ventilation requirements and the other to be put in use as we deepen the mine. The top pump station located on the services bench inside the pit, which is going to be used for the life of mine underground dewatering system, was also commissioned. We will continue to install the underground pump stations as we progress further down the mine. The ventilation risers being installed in stages as we progress the vertical depth of the mine also. The decline, which is the black line in the diagram, is currently down to the 2280 RL, which is at the sill level, which is the turquoise colour between the green shaded blocks in the presentation on the Didipio underground sectional view. The paste plant is progressing well, as shown in the photograph, and that's for commissioning at the end of the year when the first ore is expected from underground. Recent further studies on the geotechnical considerations and the mine planning and scheduling have progressed, with a new mine plan being developed by the end of the year. Turning to the next slide, slide 12, at Waihee we saw a steady quarter-on-quarter production with higher mill feed offset by the lower head grade from the mine. Additionally, the bogger availability was higher in this quarter compared to the first quarter, and the ounces produced for quarter two were similar to the ounces produced performance in quarter one at 560 ounces and 51,418 ounces for the first half. The all-in sustaining cost was higher in the second quarter due to the waste mined and the slightly higher New Zealand exchange rate. Looking ahead to the rest of the year, we expect to operate with improved equipment availability and having just recently transferred a redundant loader from Didipio to Waihee. And we also expect to mine from the higher grade zones of the Correnso underground veins as well, Correnso mine. So as such, we expect the production to be slightly higher in the second half versus the first half and the improved in-all-in sustaining costs in line with guidance. Moving to slide 13 for Macraes. As mentioned, we commenced the mining in Coronation North in the quarter, following the excellent community support through the consenting process. The production for the second quarter was slightly higher than the first quarter at 39,788 ounces and 78,328 ounces for the first half, with an all-in sustaining cost of 1,140 for the second quarter and 1,154 for the first half. Production at Macraes is expected to increase in the second half, with the fourth quarter being the strongest quarter of production. The drivers for this increase is the inclusion of the higher grade ore from the Coronation North pit, where we are currently focused on the pre-stripping of the overburden. We expect to mine ore towards the back end of the third quarter, and we'll be ramping that up and the ore extraction from that pit as the year progresses. I'd like to now hand over to Scott McQueen, the CFO, to go through the financial section. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. Good morning and good afternoon to everybody. Next few slides will give a bit more detail on the financial results, some of which were highlighted by Mick in the opening and certainly reflect the operational performance that Michael's just outlined. Starting at the top line revenue, we have a first half revenue of just under $334 million, with Q2 revenue of $172 million, about a $10 million increase on Q1. That increase reflects about a 3% higher sales volume, largely drawdown of inventories, as Mick mentioned, and a higher average gold price of around 3% across the quarter at $1,262 an ounce. In addition, we saw an increase in copper revenue based on the higher volumes and the drawdown of concentrate, 5,800 tons of copper sales, albeit at a weaker price, despite current strength we've seen in recent weeks. The EBITDA line, we saw $186.4 million on the half. As highlighted at the outset, that's an extremely strong EBITDA margin of 56%, peer-leading margin. The quarter, that translated to $85 million, which is a bit of a step down on quarter one. That sort of quarter-on-quarter movement really reflects a couple of key factors. The second quarter included a higher proportion of New Zealand ounces in the sales, which are obviously a higher cost material, plus, as Michael mentioned, the completion of open pit mining in the first half of the second quarter was an end to our high capitalisation of costs at the Didipio. We also saw a 30% quarter-on-quarter reduction in production, while planned obviously increased the effective unit cost of production. We also, in the second quarter, relative to quarter one, had an increase in G&A costs, mainly related to business taxes and employment taxes in the Philippines, the timing of some corporate IT projects, and settlement in Q2 of all of the group incentive programs. Q1 also was boosted slightly by a $5.6 million one-time gain on sale of marketable securities. The net profit line, obviously, $61.4 million, as stated at the half. The same drivers, really quarter on quarter, have an influence at the EBITDA line as they did at the net profit line. We saw higher D&A costs, which is really just a reflection of the higher cost of goods sold, the D&A portion being released there as we start to draw down inventories, particularly at the Philippines. Turning to slide 15, a bit more information on cash flow. As you would expect with the EBITDA margins we see, a very strong operating cash flow with $141 million approximately on the quarter. The increase quarter on quarter obviously reflects the higher revenue, but more significantly quarter on quarter positive working capital movements, again reflecting the drawdown in inventories, principally concentrated to Didipio, plus also the commencement of drawdown of ore stocks. I mean, it's worth highlighting at this point that, as Michael said, we've got 24 million tonnes of ore stocks that we will be commencing, we have started commencing the drawdown of at the Didipio. That's $213 million that we've spent previously that we will now see, while that will be released through the profit and loss account. In cash flow terms, that's definitely a trend we'll see moving forward with that money spent, and we'll get the positive cash flow benefits of that moving forward will be a feature of the Didipio. We also had lower income tax payments in Q2 in New Zealand, with Q1 the settlement of last year's tax results, and we have a current situation where we won't be paying any instalments this year, so that's just a timing benefit. We'll see that reverse early next year. On the investing cash flow front, we spent $137.6 million. And quarter on quarter, it looks like we've actually stepped it up, but in quarter one included a benefit of $6.6 million on the same sale of equitable marketable securities I mentioned before, so actually it was very close like-for-like, both at $72 million on the quarter. I guess the difference between the two was where we spent the money. Quarter two, a little bit less at Hale, after capitalisation of revenue certainly, and an increase as we continue the underground development. But we'll talk a little bit more about that on the next slide, cover the capital in a bit more detail. The financing cash flow, pretty flat across the half. Quarter one, we drew down on our facilities of about $12 million, whereas in quarter two, we had no further draw on our facilities. And the $6.6 million negative there really reflects the payment of the dividend. So no net change in our debt, which is not drawn debt. Turning to slide 16, CapEx. This is a bit of a busy slide. But starting on the top left, essentially we've got the graph there that shows you the total H1 spend by location, if you like. Obviously weighted towards the development, particularly at Hale and the underground at the Didipio, the dark blue, although the Didipio did include some material costs related, planned material costs related to TSS lift works there. It's not 100% underground. Moving across to the middle one, that's the same number, obviously, and it really breaks it down by nature, with $95 million being non-sustaining, principally, again, Hale, and Didipio underground. $35 million is sustaining and $13 million of non-sustaining. Below that, we take that $35 million of sustaining capital in the bottom left of there. We break that down a bit further, a bit more flavour on that. Biggest area of that spend related to Macraes, the bulk of that, well, at least one third of that being pre-strip and other capital projects on site. The Didipio was a bit less, obviously $4 million, and that was primarily road infrastructure work, etc. And Waihi, $9 million was underground development, capitalised mining costs principally. Moving to the right there, we break down the exploration, the $13 million exploration, just to give you an idea where it was mainly spent. Certainly Hale and Waihi were the major focuses, as you would expect with the exploration activities there, but there was obviously some exploration around the Round Hill and the projects we have under review at Macraes. Not too much happening in the Philippines as previously flagged. Just over on the right there, we've got a breakdown of quarter two. Just to give a little bit more detail on that. As you can see, $72 million is about half of our spend, so quarter on quarter it was pretty flat. Unsurprisingly, the highest numbers there again relate to the Didipio and Hale, with the Didipio being the major consumer that quarter. Turning to slide 17, shows our net liquidity position, a bit higher than it was last quarter, now at $127 million, very healthy $82 million in cash. Doesn't include the $72 million of marketable securities that we have at our disposal. We have $45 million of undrawn facilities. That means we have $285 million actually drawn, the same as we did last quarter. As I said previously, no further drawdowns across the quarter. A total debt sitting at $330 million, including $45 million for the yellow equipment in the field. Puts our net debt position at $248 million, which is a very comfortable net debt to asset ratio of 13%. A very strong position, being at the half, despite the commissioning issues at Hale. And with that, I'll turn back to Mick to wrap up.
Thanks, Scott. Let's move on to slide number 18. And the the point I wanted to emphasise here is, as a company, our vision and our strategy is very much a long-term focus, and the decisions that we've made over the years have been based on investing in long-life, low-cost assets, and nothing has changed there. The EBITDA margins and the return on invested capital that we have achieved over the last 5 years have been demonstrated through the performance of the share price. So clearly our strategy and our objectives have been yielding benefits. So we are a company that has a long-term focus, and we are very much a company that's focused on returns to shareholders and return on invested capital. So the year ahead, our focus is clearly continuing to create value and delivering on our commitments. Our production in the second half of the year will be stronger than the first half on the back of higher production in New Zealand and Haile. And the Didipio, as we've said many times, is expected to decrease in the second half. The development, we will complete commissioning of the Haile process over the next few months. And the expansion of Haile, the permitting of the expansion of Haile, we expect to commence by year end. Similarly, we will complete the development of the first phase of the underground mine at the Didipio in time for first ore from the underground at the end of this year, which will see production levels start to rise again. Now, exploration is continuing very well. We have strong results and progress at our Waihi mine. We have good drilling results coming out of Haile, and we continue to see opportunities for further exploration in other regions. And one of those is the commencement of joint venture in Argentina. So with that, I'd like to hand back to Geoffrey to wrap it up. Thank you.
Thanks, Mick. At this time, we'll open the line to take questions. For those of you who are seeking to ask questions, we'll be taking through the phone only. We'll now pause for a few moments while we wait for callers to queue, and I'll turn the call back over to the operator to assist with facilitating this process.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, should you have a question, please press star followed by 1 on your touch-tone phone. If you're using a speakerphone, please lift your handset before pressing any keys. One moment, please, for your first question. Your first question comes from Michael Gray from Macquarie. Michael, please go ahead.
All right, thanks. Thanks, Mick and team. A couple questions on Haile and one on Macraes. At Haile, regarding the reduction in head grade, can you give us some color on what the main driver of this was? And, you know, was it related to deferring grade until recovery's improved?
Yeah, it's a combination of both, Michael. It's where we are in the pit, and also not wanting to throw good grade out to tails. So we're not pushing the head grade just to produce gold. We're focused on stability of the plant.
Okay, and are you happy with the block model grade reconciliation at this point, or is that still a work in progress?
Well, we've only just started mining, and as you well know, we need to get a large enough portion of ore mined through the mill before we can start to make some definitive comments about reconciliation, but we are confident in the model at this point in time, yes.
Okay, and just shifting to the mill performance, subsequent to starting up in Q2, it really improved. Both for throughput and recoveries based on the MD&A. Can you provide a little bit more color on the recent performance and expectations for Q3?
Oh, I'd rather not make any promises on that, Michael, other than to say we have seen improved recovery and stability in the process plant, which will lead to increases in throughput.
Okay, fair enough. How about a breakdown in terms of oxide transition and sulfide feed in the second half of the year?
Well, we don't. We're not treating any oxide at the moment, and we don't plan to treat that in a material way throughout the rest of the year. It really is focused on the primary sulfide ores.
Okay, thanks for that. And final question, just on Macraes, are you able to give a little bit more color on the grade profile in the second half of the year with the high grade coming in from Coronation North?
Well, I think you can back calculate it yourself. We're looking to produce around 90,000 to 110,000 ounces of gold in the second half of the year. So the mill throughput is still the same at about 5.8 or 2.9 million tonnes for the half year. And the recoveries will be, 82%. So I couldn't tell you exactly what that grade works out to be. But we have stated previously in previous presentations that the Coronation North ore body is some 40% higher in grade than what we've been mining so far. So it's in that kind of 1.4 gram range, which you start to see in the fourth quarter.
Okay, we'll take it from there. Thanks very much. Appreciate this.
Thanks, Michael.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Michael Slaversky from Credit Suisse. Michael, please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. Good morning, Wilson. I think part of one of my questions was just answered there in your suggestion that Macraes' recovery in the second half would be about 82%. So I guess the question underlying that was the 80% in the half versus the 83%, I think, previously, and the comment about carbonaceous ore being the issue. Does that relate to a specific pit or depth? Was it a surprise? Is it sort of more pervasive than you'd thought, or is Coronation clear? I'm just trying to understand whether it's a metallurgical challenge that you'll overcome, or just a spot in a pit. Any colour around that would be useful, please.
Okay, Michael, I'll just ask Michael Holmes to comment on that level of detail.
Yeah, thanks, Mick. Basically we took an opportune to treat some oxide material through the quarter, and that had that was a higher grade material that was treated, but it had an impact on the overall recovery. We were blending it in, and we'll at reduced rates, of course, it was really an opportunistic while we still had a bit of mill capacity there to treat some higher grade oxide material. So we're not seeing that, and we don't believe we'll see that in the Coronation or most of the primary pit material.
Okay, thank you. Secondly, with respect to Didipio and throughput, I think in the past you've talked about a license limit, I think, of 3.5 million tonnes. You've done a fair portion of that in the first half. You talk about maintenance later. So are you still up against that 3.5 million tonne constraint for this year, or has there been some movement on the license that might allow you to do a little bit better?
So the license, the 3.5 million license, is still in play. We're going through the process now of reviewing that. We've done all the work to allow all the required pre-work to have that license amended. Now with the new secretary, we're just basically waiting for the right time to reapproach the new secretary with regards to the request. So I think we're forecasting that it's going to be 3.5 continuing for this year, but if there is an opportunity and the right window opens, we will certainly put that in front of
them. Terrific, thank you. And then finally, with respect to the comments on Hale about wanting to demonstrate stability before declaring commercial production, is there anything in the work program ahead of you that has to be completed that would enable you to demonstrate stability? So when we look at what you've achieved, it sounds like a lot of what you hope to achieve in terms of mill grates, overcoming the short circuiting and so on, has been largely completed. So how do we assess when you're going to get close to commercial production?
Michael, I think it's, as I said, stability and continued consistent performance in the mill. We do want to demonstrate 80% throughput in the mill. It can be consistently achieved. And we do want to see recoveries at or near expected rates. If we can deliver that performance over the next couple of months, a couple of weeks, I should say, then we'll be in a position to make that decision.
That's great. Thank you very much. And can I, just one other sort of little semantic thing around wording. In the quarterly underhaul, you talk about mill feed for the quarter being 409,000 tonnes lower than expected. So that's mill throughput rather than mill feed. There's plenty of feed available, but it's throughput.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sorry. 409,000 tonnes for the quarter, not tonnes per hour.
Yeah. No, I just want to make sure it was when it said feed, it confused me slightly. It's okay. Thanks, Wilksy.
That's these IR guys that don't, you know how sloppy they are.
Yeah, I'll have a word with him.
Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Geordie Mark from Haywood Securities. Geordie, please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning. And afternoon, I guess, to Sam, or evening. Just a few questions following from the two Michaels. On Hale, can you remind me what grind size you're down to now? Is it from about 18 or 15 microns?
Well, we're in the range of 15 to 20 microns, Geordie, and that was
right
always the...
Excellent. And on that slide 7, you had the forecast ramp up for throughput on a monthly basis. On that next forecast for the second half of the year, you don't want to sort of pin any sort of forecasts on gold recoveries, do you, in relationship to that throughput increase?
Well, the recoveries, expected this year to be around 80%, and I'm expecting those sort of numbers for the second half of the year.
Okay, mate. Thank you. And maybe just moving over to Didipio quickly. Can you remind me of the lag time between provisional pricing for copper concentrate sales and pricing, and then the final adjustments, and how we can expect that to move on, given what we've seen in terms of that commodity price movement recently versus when those concentrate sales may have been put to sea?
Yeah, we're subject to current prices effectively, Geordie. We do have a contract which stipulates the buyer, which is Trafigura, have the option to choose either a 3-mumma or a 1-mumma pricing period. And I think this year it's one month this year. So there's not much exposure there, and we're basically exposed to current prices.
Right. Okay. Thanks for that. That's great. And for Didipio, in terms of how should we deal with rehandling costs just for this half of the year coming through?
You mean the cost to rehandle the stockpiles?
Yeah, what are we looking at there?
Michael, can you answer that question? If not, we can get back to you with that detail, Geordie. It's a dollar per tonne figure, but I couldn't tell you what it is.
Right, okay. And just one last one, sorry. You stated a sort of a range for gold grade for the stockpiles for Didipio for this half of the year. Any sort of forecast for the range for copper grades as well?
Similar to what they are at the moment. Our guidance for the full year is 18,000 to 19,000 tonnes of copper, obviously impacted by lower throughput at the end of the year. But we do see fairly consistent copper grades through the ore, even with the lower gold grade. So that's our, I can't remember what the exact head grade of the copper is year to date, but it'd be in around that 0.5% mark.
A bit higher, but yeah.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Chris Thompson from Raymond James. Chris, please go ahead.
Hi, guys. Just a lot of my questions have just been answered, but just a quick question on Waihi. You know, you mentioned that back half of the year it's going to be higher production. Is that going to be entirely driven on grade, or can we expect the mill throughput to step up a little?
No, it's the it's generally driven by the grade. So the way the mining method of the ore body is basically you've got to go to the extremities and the lowest points and mine in. So you're actually mining lower grade portions at those extremities. And so we'll see as we're mining in the second half of the year coming into sort of the higher grade portion of the Correnso mine. But again, I suppose the throughput should be improved a bit with improved equipment availability, and hence the reason we got the redundant loader down from the depot is to ensure that that will be the case.
Great. All right, guys. Thanks for that quick question. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, should you have a question, please press star followed by one. Your next question comes from Jeff Killeen from CIBC. Jeff, please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, and thanks for the time today. So wanted to rewind a bit to Haile. Again, just thinking about the performance you've seen over the course of this month, Mick, without any specifics, would you be able to say that, you know, week on week you've seen a consistent track higher in terms of throughput, in terms of grade, in terms of recoveries?
We're not talking many weeks there, Jeff. You know, we only just finished the reconfiguration of the mills, and we've only just put the first two launders in the CL tank. So, you know, and we've only just finished the closed circuiting of the regrind circuit. So, it's, you know, the signs are positive, but I will stop short of saying that we've seen a trend.
Okay, very well. And then thinking again, coming back to commercial production, you had mentioned what you're really looking for. I think you had outlined six criteria in the MD&A that you had to meet in order to get to that point. Would you be able to tell us what of those six that has been reached?
Well, as you said, it reported in the second quarter, our recoveries are well below where we expected, and I want to see that back up, and the stability in the plant should allow us to achieve that.
Okay, very well. So would that infer that, sorry?
Costs are in line with expectations on cost per tonne and mining costs and processing costs, et cetera. And grades are in line with expectation. What we need to see is consistent, stable performance and therefore consistent recoveries.
Okay, very well. And has that passover from the commissioning's team to the operation team happened yet?
Well, the operations group do have control of the plant, but there are commissioning people still involved assisting in that process.
Okay, thanks for that. Go ahead.
Construction people are still making the modifications necessary.
Okay, fair. Switching to Didipio, you had commented that there was a slight drop in throughput in the quarter. Some of that was due to harder ore. Is that an impact coming from starting to process stockpile?
Yeah, some of the stockpile, the lower grade stockpile, is from the harder portions of the pit. So that'll just be consistent as we go through in some of the sections, and as we start the underground, we'll be getting the breccia type material. But generally, yeah, the grade profile with the lower grade material is in some of the harder material that we have.
Okay,
and
then thinking about depreciation, it being quite a bit higher in Q2, now that the pit is wound up, would we start to see that decline going through the back half of the year, or do you think it still could be elevated relative to, say, Q4 or Q1 of this year?
Scott, can you answer that, please?
Yeah, well, I'd expect it to be relatively stable for the balance of the year as we draw the ore through, just the stockpile.
Okay, great. And then lastly for me, just around Waihi, you noted that you had a number of public consultations. Can you give us any insight on how those went? Were there any, you know, specific items that are being brought forward by the local community?
Well, we're not in a position to talk about those discussions yet, but other than to say that everything's tracking to plan, Jeff, and you know, we are confident that we'll be able to start the permitting process for the Martha project at the end of this year.
Okay, apologies. One more from me. Then just switching to the Philippines again, notice that you're still going forward with the legal process in regards to the previous suspension order around Didipio. How do you see that situation unfolding, or is it still a little opaque at this point? Do you think that you need to go through the final strokes of that legal process, or is that something yet to be determined?
Well, we definitely have to continue that legal process because we still obviously want that suspension order that was issued under the authority of a DNR secretary at the time. So that process has to continue. But it's important to understand that the politics of it is that the president, or sorry, the new DNR secretary and the cabinet will you know, make sure that there's no political sort of blowback on the president as a result of any decisions they make from here on. So we are very confident in our case. We know we have the support of the government in terms of following proper due process, and I think it is just a case of being patient and let the government go through their processes.
Okay, great. That's it for me. Thank you very much for your time.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Tim Mulcahy, private investor. Tim, please go ahead.
Oh, hi. Good morning. Good evening. Thank you, gentlemen. I was actually going to ask a similar question to the last caller in regard to the Prime Minister of the Philippines, as I'm sure you're aware, was on another rant last week. And you know, I just wanted to get some input on the legal process, but that was answered. So thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks, Tim.
There are no further questions at this time. Please proceed.
That concludes the presentation for today. So on behalf of the team at Oceana Gold, I'd like to thank you for your interest and participation. And should you have any further questions, please don't hesitate to contact any of us. Thanks.